Something is up with oil and gas prices this summer. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Oil prices have jumped around like crazy this summer, and in just the past few days, too, down 2% yesterday to the lowest point in weeks, up 8% today. The volatility is a reflection of anxiety in markets about what is going to happen this fall given the rise of new COVID variants. And that, in turn, has an effect on gas prices that we will see moving forward. If you haven't noticed, prices at the pump have been rising steadily this summer, up about 6% since May. Ellen Wald is president of Transversal Consulting and a non-resident fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global Energy Center.
Oil demand or gasoline demand tends to fall in the autumn months. So the question is, will we see the regular seasonal drop or will we see an even bigger drop? And that could then cause oil prices to fall even more.
There are, Wald says, more than a few things that might drive oil and gas prices down significantly.
At the same time as demand looks a bit shaky, the OPEC plus countries are putting more oil on the market. Then there's also the China factor. And if we see more lockdowns across China, that could really cut into global oil demand, which will have an impact on the price of oil in the United States. So implementing lockdowns could cause the price of oil to affect us and cause our gasoline prices to drop.
Ellen Wald, president of Transversal Consulting and a non-resident fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global Energy Center. So prices may fall, but we are not, she adds, going to get anywhere near the situation we had during the pandemic when the average price of gas was less than $2 a gallon and West Texas intermediate prices actually went negative. All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down less than a tenth of a percent. Dow S&P futures are down less than a tenth of a percent, with the Dow future down 25 whole points. NASDAQ futures are up about a tenth of a percent, and the 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.313%. Canada's border is back open this week for vaccinated U.S. tourists. The move is not mutual. The U.S. is still closed to Canadians on non-essential travel. This has major economic implications. For Canada, Americans are big business. Before the pandemic, more tourists from the U.S. visited Canada than any other country. And that was true in the reverse, too. Canadians were the U.S.'s top visitors. So what's that mean for our economies? Now, the Canada is open to Americans, but the U.S. is still closed to Canadians. Marketplace's Carolyn Champlin has more on that.
More than a quarter of tourists to the U.S. used to come from Canada. Roger Dow would see them every winter in Florida.
I can tell when the Canadians are in town because all the condo lights light up.
Dow is CEO of the U.S. Travel Association. And now that Canada's border is open, he says the U.S. should return the favor. Because if not, Dow says, Canadians may choose other destinations.
Travel is like water. It will go to the place where it's easiest to go to, and if there's a block, it will go somewhere else.
Besides snowbird locations, U.S. border towns depend on Canadians, from Washington State to Maine. University of Central Florida hospitality professor Alan File says, once the border opens, Canadians will come back.
It's easy to get here. They've got so many family connections. It's such an ingrained relationship that it's still going to be there.
U.S. border restrictions are set to expire later this month. File says Canada's reopening does put pressure on the U.S. not to extend those. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Sticking with Canada for a moment, during the first growing season of the pandemic, farm workers in the province of Ontario in Canada tested positive for COVID-19 at higher rates than even frontline health workers did. And those striking numbers and outbreaks on farms that in some instances numbered hundreds of cases per farm brought new attention to poor living and working conditions for some temporary farm workers and raised some hopes of lasting changes. Emma Jacobs has more.
Leamington, Ontario is known as the tomato capital of Canada. It's dotted with greenhouses that actually grow everything from cucumbers to cannabis plants. Many of their workers are in Canada on temporary visas, like Herbie, originally from the Caribbean island of St. Lucia. He says when the pandemic began, social distancing was next to impossible in the crowded bunkhouse he shared with other workers.
The next guy too is about 3 feet away.
Herbie asked us not to use his last name because he's looking for a new employer to sponsor his next visa. When COVID reached his farm, Herbie says, first, one of his coworkers got sick.
It spread, and it spread. And I think only one worker didn't have it when we went get tested.
He tested positive. He says his symptoms were mild, but it was scary to be surrounded by so many people ill all at once. By last summer, Canada's Health Minister, Patty Hajdu, was testifying to a parliamentary committee about what she'd been learning of conditions on some farms.
It is a national disgrace the way that workers are treated.
The Ontario Greenhouse Vegetable Growers Association, which is headquartered in Leamington, declined an interview but has posted, quote, facts and myths about foreign worker programs on its website. It notes that every farm is heavily inspected, including housing. Last summer, Minister Hajdu alluded to major changes to come for the farm worker visa programs. So far, the government's mostly added money for inspections and started a process to set standards for housing. These are incremental steps, says researcher Janet McLaughlin of the Migrant Worker Health Project.
They're welcomed, but if this is it, then they certainly haven't gone far enough.
While the pandemic has highlighted how vulnerable workers are, she says, attention and reforms will need to outlast it. In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.